Welcome to the Business Isn't Usual podcast. I'm your host, Stuart Wilkinson, and it's deja vu. We're back in lockdown. So what have we done? We've brought back some of our key speakers. Anna Steele, Greg Hughes have been on lots of episodes before, and we're going to go back to basics. Once again, just focus on what we're going to discuss, five crucial areas in your business that you can look at, get a sense of how you're tracking in those areas, and really get an understanding of what you can change to give you some control through, again, another period of uncertainty. We hope you enjoy the podcast. If you do, make sure you check out all our social media platforms for updates and other content that Rightway puts out. But also subscribe where you're listening to this podcast. Spotify and Apple Podcasts are our main channels, but also we're on a host of other things. Hope you enjoy. Please give us any feedback or questions or ideas of what you want us to hear or answer in the podcast. But let's crack into today's podcast. Anna, Greg, welcome back to your third or fourth, I've lost count, appearance to the podcast.
It's a bit like, how many days have we been locked down? It's only one. It still feels like a long time.
2 hours and 14 minutes as we record this podcast.
Okay.
Well, Auckland, you're not locked down. I'm in lockdown. No, that's true. You guys in Rotorua and Wellington, not locked down.
I've gone out in sympathy. How's that?
Yes, thank you. I've been in lockdown. So impromptu podcast after the news of last night, Auckland moving into level three until at this stage Friday midnight. Rest of the country into level two. And no doubt we probably all were swearing a little bit at the TV. There's plenty in the press around, you know, another kick in the guts for things like hospitality, which is in particular going to take a bit of a dive. And the economists I've seen of ASB and the Herald today talking about this as another bump for the economy. So the wake-up call, or whatever we want to call it, that we didn't want. So it's probably a summary podcast of all our podcasts that we've done since the 25th of March when we first launched, to go back, well, okay, we've had this this happen again. What do we do as business owners to get back on, give control to ourselves and the business, and feel like we're okay? So we've all kind of come up with five crucial items or ideas of focus, I guess we'll call it. So Greg, as you starred in the first ever podcast, which was in the first original lockdown, and we titled that Cash is King, that's still the most important one. So, like, let's just go over those points, and it sounds an obvious one, but why is cash and king, and what is it that you're seeing as well that business owners have done well over the last 4 months to maintain good cash flow?
Right. Well, cash is king, and I don't think it needs anyone to explain the reason behind that. I suppose we are in survival mode as business. Now, a lot of businesses are doing very well in this period. I've got some clients who are doing exceptionally well. The issue around it is they are focusing on the short-term basis, i.e. they've got cash in the bank, they can pay their bills. If the turnover is down for a short term, they can survive it through. So they're adapting their business model to say, yep, I've still got a long-term strategy, I've still got my one-year target, but I'm not losing sight as that next week I've got a wage bill, or the week after I've got the rent to go out. And I think we can be accused sometimes of being myopic and either going, this is my strategy and forgetting about tomorrow, or this is my today and I'll forget about my strategy. So underlying everything, particularly when things are hard, is cash is king.
Anna, with clients you've been working with, and I guess we've had so much dialogue with customers now over the last 4 months, what are the traits you've seen from customers that have been okay with cash? And I'm not saying just because their business has been going well, but what have they done well that makes sure they've got good visibility, they've got overview, and they feel in control of cash flow?
Yeah, it's a good question, because it was something that people really had to, some people that hadn't thought about it previously had to during our first lockdown. I think it's one of the things that that Greg said in that first ever podcast that he did, you know, that one that made him famous, Cash is King. It's about identifying everything that you've got going out and everything that you've got coming in. Like, that sounds, I appreciate that sounds ridiculous and basic, but actually encouraging people to sit down and write it down and not just be like, oh, no, I know because it's in my head or whatever. actually sitting down and like Greg just said there, thinking about what's happening over the next week and over the next month, as well as your longer term forecasting and budgeting and stuff, like that's necessary as well. But if you're a restaurant in Auckland, or if you're a you know, any one of the multitude of industries that's going to be really hit with this level 3/level 2 situation, what is it that you've got to pay in the next week or the next fortnight that might take a hit on that?
Can I just interrupt there, student? Also, don't forget that cash is a byproduct of a non-financial transaction, and I harp on about this a lot. So if you are bleeding cash, it's because you are either buying too much labor or using your supplies, you're getting your stock turn is too slow. So it is the byproduct of your business function that creates or consumes cash.
Yeah, and look, we mentioned earlier that hospitality is the obvious one straight away that's closing the doors a little bit here will be affected the most from a most obvious point of view. And our last podcast with Casey, I recommend every hospitality business listens to that, because he goes over this in a lot of detail on how you control your profitability, but also your cash. And it's just amazing the examples he gives, which seems so small, but can have a massive impact on the cash going out the door. So as you said, Greg, it's that non-financial activity, whether it's I'm ordering too much or something, or I'm wasting something, or I'm not using it, or whatever, that's going to have the output. I think the other thing I rank about cash flow, and Craig Hudson, let's just reference every podcast we've done, Craig Hudson's podcast, he said from a zero point of view, there was no doubt companies who had their zero up to date, or their other systems up to date with the most up to date information, could then make great decisions. And I know Xero have launched their short term cash flow tool, I think it's called, which gives you a bit of a snapshot. So if you've not got Xero up to date, if you've not got all your information into Xero, like to your point, Anna, how can you make decisions? So good data about your business and what's the accurate position today has to be that starting point before you sort of start looking at these things. So, you know, get into the Xero, get it reconciled, get it up to date. If you need some support, give your accountant, advisor, whatever, a call, but it's a good place to start. Cost control, we kind of went into that. That's our point two today. Anna, what have you seen with customers, and what's your advice around how you can control costs? Because it's the obvious thing we do, isn't it? Oh, we're under pressure. Boom, boom, boom. Let's cut the cost. But it's not as easy as that always, is it?
Well, no, and this links directly into some of that stuff we're just talking about with cash flow, doesn't it? What Greg was saying there, that cash flow is a byproduct of whatever's happening in your business. And if you cut all costs now, then you can't continue doing the thing that you do, whatever that may be. But again, highlighting what is it that you can control, what it is that you can reduce or minimize or affect if you've just shut up shop overnight. I think they're quite strongly linked there to cash flow myself. What do you reckon, Greg?
The issue with controlling costs also comes back to short-term, long-term. So I deal with a lot of people in the construction industry. And the basis being is you'd think they might be employing a builder $25 an hour, but they're paying out of that KiwiSaver, annual leave, sick leave, et cetera, et cetera. So a lot of my clients are actually employing the builder as a contractor and paying them $33 an hour. So you're immediately saying, well, hang on, I'm losing $8 an hour. But what you look there says, well, you're only paying them for worked hours. So your effective return on that labor purchase is significantly higher. And that's where you know your costs. You know it doesn't always work that way, but my rule of thumb is that the more nervous you are about confidence about where work's coming from, you want to make your costs more variable. The more confident you are, you want to make them more fixed. So there's a, but again, you might say, well, hang on, that means I'm paying $33 an hour, so it's more cash out than 25. Where I'd be saying is, go the next step, you are billing 20 hours at 33 rather than paying 30 hours at 25. So that's knowing your costs and where they lie.
And I think the key word we've got there is we haven't got cut costs, we've got control costs.
Absolutely.
And knowing them. Yes. That's the other thing, you know, that Greg highlights there, right? It's knowing what they are. And that seems obvious, but lots of people don't. Lots of people don't know where the costs are in their business. And it comes back to that reconciliation and that overview of your systems and what's going on.
I was going to say, I think that's where a business person should sit down with their accountant and look at their, for want of a horrible term, profit and loss, because it's a set of numbers, but actually have it broken down to, these are the costs that I cannot change. They're fixed.
Yeah.
I won't worry about them. I can't do anything about them. These are the costs that are variable. As long as I trade, there's a direct correlation between what I've sold and what I buy. And these are my variable costs that I can tweak up and down, and they have a cost benefit. If you break your cost structures down to those three areas, you have a lot more clarity over what controls has the biggest influence on your profit and cash.
Yep, yep. With that, I think, Greg, you touched on this when we talked about cash, but it's understanding that any result in the financials, whether it's a cost, whether it's revenue based, whatever it might be, is an output. It's a result of something that's gone on to your business. Activity has taken place. And we have talked a lot with our customers about knowing your business levers, knowing your things that you can pull on a day-to-day basis to control things. Greg, what do we mean when we say business levers?
A business does not operate in isolation. You don't turn around and say, I've just bought a bag of jelly beans for $5 and I've sold them for $8. I've made an $8 profit. See you later. So all the elements, and if it comes back to controlling costs, it's also knowing your clients, who your customers are. We'll come on to that shortly. So a business is a balancing tool. So if you literally think of these are those toys out there, they're like a square and you'd roll a ball on it, and you could roll and you'd try and get the ball in the middle and you tilted it forward and back and side to side, and you kept doing that and you'd run this ball bearing ball through a whole lot of channels. Show my age. That aside,
you're on a podcast, Greg. You've given your age away now because it's audio based. But anyway,
that's fine. Yeah, I didn't have grey hair before this started. but the fact is, that's what a business is like. Nothing is in isolation. So if you're talking about who your customers, where you're selling, what you're selling, what regulations. I have a client who's in hospitality. And at the high end, magnificent restaurant, they sat and looked at their levers and said, one of our levers is that people are scared to come here because they perceive it's going to be too expensive. So they switched to a fixed price menu. Now, the customer still came in and had a choice of entrees, mains, and desserts, but the customer coming in knew that they were going to be spending $50 or whatever. And so it took out that concern for the customer. Mm. And yep. So their business, because they've taken that concern away, their actual business has increased substantially just by addressing that one lever.
Yeah, yeah. Anna, what have you worked on with customers? Because I know you've been doing a lot of planning sessions. Have a lot of fun in Anna's planning sessions, if you ever do one, by the way. Get told off for having too much fun in your planning sessions. But what are the conversations you've had, and what is this discussion about business levers or things they control led to with the clients you've been working with, Anna?
Yeah. A lot of them have been sort of focusing on longer term stuff, but then pulling it back to to those specific levers like Greg's talking about. So if we want to achieve, you know, let's say it's $1 million in the next 12 months, that's great. Like, work that out in big picture wise, but then pulling it back to what do I need to do on a week by week basis? You know, what do I need to do this week? What do I need to do this month? And then working that out. And then it's putting it into some way that you can test and amend that. So obviously using some of the tools that are available to us to say, okay, here's what we said we wanted to do this month to get $1 million in a year's time. And $1 million is not what most of my clients are talking, but you know. And then measuring against that. So did we achieve that? Why didn't we? What are those levers that we need to pull, or what do we need to change? Or so is that we need to put our price up by $5, or that we need to sell 50 more things, or is it, yep. Or do we need to reduce costs somewhere? Because that also gets us $1 million. So by having it, so putting a bit of work in to start with by going line by line in the revenue, line by line in the expenses, and splitting out those outgoings like Greg just mentioned there. And but then going back and looking at it, okay, that's what we said. Was that realistic? Was that correct? Was that good? What do we need to change? And but coming back to that, the cash or only being an outcome of your business, that just makes that reporting just sort of the numerical language of what's happening in your business. So did you need to do more of the thing that you do? Do you need to sell more? Do you need to and figuring out what that is sort of on a line by line basis to achieve those goals. So big picture, but then bringing it down into something. And I'm actually using my hands here a lot, and I've just realized this is a podcast.
Great for a podcast. It's great.
I'm very animated, people. but yeah, so big picture, but then bringing it back into what are the practical things that you're doing on a day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month basis. So it's not just because anyone can do a budget, right? I can do you a budget now that says that you make $1 million next week, but if that's not actually what you're going to do in the day-to-day of your business, then it's just bollocks.
Yeah. Say what you really feel, Anna. But it's true. We could, yeah. Greg, you always said.
What I was really thinking.
I know, but you know that. Yeah, as you said, Greg, I remember seeing a presentation you did to some customers of ours in Tauranga, and saying the same thing. Like, we can make the numbers do whatever you think they want them to do. Like, it's, but it's realistic. It's got to be realistic. I know in Casey's Hospo podcast, it should be just the one below us, or below on whatever you're listening to us today. He talks about the big controls in Hospo, which is your food cost and your labor cost. And he goes into a lot of detail of what you do with your menu, what you do with your ordering from your suppliers, the prices that you're paying from the suppliers, like really down to practical things which have a massive impact on cash and the output for your business. So it's getting down to that granular level. And like you say, Anna, I think it's a really good message, because often there's the let's do the budget for the next 12 months. At the end of the 12 months, oh, did we hit budget? It's a living, breathing review. Greg, I know you're big on this, aren't you?
I am very big on this. And that, come back to the point you said before, there's absolutely no excuse for any business not to have their zero reconciled daily. Yeah. Because it's the foundation of what their business is doing. And it is every time I'm talking to my clients, I'm looking at them when we're working together on what's happening. And if we have a situation in front of us, as in today, we will create a second paralleled scenario. So this is where we're going. And then we'll go, hey, what if we're not going to be 3 days in lockdown? We're going to be 6 weeks in lockdown. What's our and so we'll run in parallel another scenario, and then we'll look at the business and what we're doing there. Will we get some more taxpayer provided wage subsidy? Will we, you know, do we have to shut the door? How long can we shut the door for? And so you start running these levers. You know, you might turn around and say it's cheaper to shut the door for 6 weeks, but then you turn around and say, what's the cost of actually restarting the business again in 6 weeks? And that's where the whole lever thing comes in. You cannot look in isolation.
Yeah, and I think the important thing, I know Isaac, one of our business partners, Auckland, he talks about that, yes, by doing some of these scenarios, you get an output and you'll get, but it's the understanding that that conversation gives a business owner of going, well, hey, look, if we look at option A versus option B, maybe it's, hey, we'll open the doors for 4 days versus 6 days. there's a great conversation of, well, what's the cost for that? Okay, I've got labor, I've got to put the lights on. All these sort of things start to inform you as a business owner. So when these things happen, and I think, you know, we don't know, you know, it's only been, as I'm now 2.5 hours into lockdown, that, you know, we're still very new to what's going to be the situation of this recent case. But what this has shown is, if, but there is a chance this is going to happen again. There's no doubt about that. And you've got to be agile as a business owner to be able to go, cool, this has happened, but because I know my costs really well, I know how my business operates, I know my levers, I can then already start to make plans of what I can do today to make an impact, because I'm educated about my business. So I think the stories we've heard from our customers is that's the process, is it's the getting down to the granular of what can I do today that have a big impact.
Can I ask a question, or I'll put a rhetorical question out there? Why are there some businesses in retail and in hospitality, and this is also rhetorical, clients of mine who are doing better now,
yep,
during lockdown and post-lockdown than they were this time last year? And I'll jump in with my own answer, is because what lockdown...
Like a lawyer, was it? Like, don't ask a question. Yeah.
Yeah, you never ask a question you don't know the answer, like a good politician. The reason being is that lockdown made them look at their business and made them look down. They did not have a divine right to exist, and they were trading like they did. And so they've turned around and gone, what are we going to do to claim our place in the world? And guess what? Because they've done it really well, they've actually gone, oh, wow, this is, yeah, you know.
Yeah. Everything that we're saying that people should be doing now over the next few days, over the next week, just to, you know, get through, whether our lockdown goes until midnight on Friday or whether it extends a bit longer, whatever it is actually what people should be doing all the time, right? And we said this back in March and April. This actually gives you the time to reset and look at the way you manage your business and the way you run your business. And these are actually things that your accountant or your business advisor or whomever has been telling you to do for years, that your budget should be a living document, that you should be doing reporting, that you should – all of these things are actually just good ways to run your business. Now we're saying you need to do them like today, this week, very soon, because we may be going back into the zombie apocalypse. But actually, it's just giving you that opportunity to reassess the way you operate your business, because this would make you a better business anyway, which is exactly what Greg has just said. And that's what I've seen with my clients as well. The ones that have were either doing this anyway pre-COVID-19 or started doing it post-COVID-19 are doing as well or better. You know, and they feel good about the future because they actually know what it is. They know what those levers are. They know how to control what they're doing. They have, you know, one of my clients who said, it was actually the client that I was in that advisory meeting that you were scoffing at, Stu, because you told us off for having too much fun. They felt they had no control over their business. They didn't know what was going on. Whereas now they do. Now they look at it and go, oh, well, we know what we can do there. We know that we change this or we change that. And if that doesn't work, we know where to look for what else to change.
Yeah, yeah. I've got a question which we haven't prepared for, so this will be good. Yeah, keep people on their toes. I hope that most people will listen to this podcast and nod away and agree with what we're saying. There's not, you know, people might take it and go, hey, I'd change that slightly or whatever, but the principles we are putting out here are not rocket science. We're not, you know, this business guru. How much of this is an execution problem for business owners? And what, because, you know, we're all busy, we've got things to do. We all have this in life, don't we, with executing things that we want to do, whether it's in work, whether it's in personal lives, whether it's in sport, doesn't really matter what. But how much of it is just people pushing it down the priority list? And what is the difference between, and I'll go both of you guys, what's the difference between the owners that have made a difference? How have they executed some of this stuff? And I'll go to Greg first.
Priority. Simple as that. They actually turned around and there's a client of mine that you've met, Stu, where he said the first thing Greg did was absolutely tore a strip off me for doing the payroll, and when we've got an office, and this is the CEO of the company.
Yeah.
And so I got into him about what had to be done every day, the must, what should be done in the next couple of days, and what could be done. I told him all the stuff that could be done, forget about it. Don't worry. If it could be done or could not be done, doesn't matter. You deal with what must be done. Now turn around and say, the first thing that must be done is look at your business. That paying the wages is not a must for you. It's a must for the business.
Yes.
And I think that's where people get bogged down. And frankly, if they should have a financial advisor or accountant who will argue with them. If you've got someone who goes, oh, yes, sir, you're great, then, you know, technology will do your accounts. You've got to have someone that will actually challenge you and say, why aren't you doing this? And that absolutely is the reason for success.
So is part of that an accountability part to someone else? Greg, do you think, like, I know we play that role for a lot of our customers, and this is not a sales job for Rightway, but as you said, having someone else that is actually you're accountable to changes the game.
Absolutely. So I have regular meetings with my clients, and when I do, we are always challenging. So they, while they're my client, we are a partnership, and I'll be saying to them, why haven't you got this done? Why haven't you addressed it? We collectively agreed that this was going to be done. And when they say, well, you know, I'm busy with work, you say, well, yeah, I get that, but your work's not going to be there unless you start to address what we agreed to do. And so you're making them superficially accountable to the advisor, but actually what you're making them realize they're accountable to themselves.
Yeah.
And that making that statement, this is what is absolutely has to be done first. Funny thing is, two things will happen. One is they'll end up with more time, not less, because they'll start to recognize the excuse the expression, the crap that they've been dealing with that they don't need to deal with. And the second thing is the work they do to deal with it, they'll have greater clarity because their mind is not cluttered by all this noise that's coming in. They're very focused on what they're trying to achieve.
Yeah. Anna, you know, your view on execution and sort of what you've seen, difference between people that have executed and not executed.
Look, I'm probably just saying the same thing as Greg in a slightly different way. It's absolutely about priorities. But it's about people understanding how to spend their time in a way that's valuable. And if we come back to something like the reconciliation of zero, which we have already said that is really important and it could be done daily. In fact, it should be done at least weekly. But if you're the CEO of the business, and that might be a multitude of businesses, and you're the person whose time is best spent, you know, maybe that's the face of the business, maybe that's the you know, the lead singer in the band sort of role, then only you can probably do that role, or certainly that's the best use of your time. So should you be the one reconciling zero? Or should you be paying someone, you know, and your admin person to do it, or paying a bookkeeper? Because they are great at doing that, and they will probably do it better and quicker than you, and then you can spend more time. So it's about defining what is the best use of your time. Make your time valuable, and that includes your time with your family, with your friends.
Yeah.
But it also and working, and you know, it's that horrible cliche, and I'm not a fan of it. You know, that working on your business, not in it, because you do have these day to day stuff that needs doing. But what is the most valuable use of your time? And that's what that's one of the things that I guess we try to get with our clients. And it's always a struggle because they still go, well, I still need to cut the hair or mow the lawns or whatever it is they do.
Yeah.
But actually, what is going to make your business run better? And it's possibly for a lot of people, not you reconciling zero, or it's not you doing the wages, as in Greg's example, because there's several people that can do the wages and they'll probably do it better than you. But there's probably your time. How is that best spent? How do you work that out? And make that a priority.
Yeah, and it's the classic opportunity cost, isn't it? The opportunity cost of that hour of time you're doing, what you're more valuable with what your skills are, what your expertise are, your knowledge of your business and the role of your business than doing lower level stuff.
Yeah, and depending on what it is you do, you should be doing the $200 an hour stuff or the $2,000 an hour correct. Stuff, not the $25 an hour stuff. Yeah. Do you know?
Yeah. And I raise that point because all I think is this event that's happened, with these cases in South Auckland, I call it the wake up call, but this is the wake up call that if you don't actually start to action some of this stuff, you can't come to your accountant in 3 months' time and go, oh, I think I'm going to go out of business because it's too late. And also you're not going to have, as you said, Anna, some of this is not about just the cash flow. It's also about time with family, ability to put some time into growing the business, do other stuff that you might have interest with, whether it's coach your son's football team. I don't know what it is, but only you can make these changes and have a willingness to change. But there are some people out there and there's a lot of great people, whether it's us or some other really good firms out there as well, that can support you and make sure you're there on the journey. But this idea, I think, where we've got around controlling cost, that gets confused with, oh, well, I'm spending $200 on my bookkeeping, but I could do it, so I'll cut that cost and I'm saving some money. You're not. You're doing is just pulling a world of heat of more work onto you, and you're moving your focus away from what's really important. So hence why the execution. Business leaders.
And just to add to that, Stu, thinking about, you know, you're talking about some of the sessions that we've had since lockdown 1.0. One of the sessions I had with a client was around that, really, defining everything that, you know, looking at their operational structure of their business. This is before we got to the cash flow because we had to sort the operational structure out first. And one of the people in that business put themselves in every single part of it. And if, you know, if there were five different branches, they could do all of it. And we had to get her to stop and say, yes, you can do all of it, but is that the most efficient use of your time? Yeah. And it took her a while, before she went, yeah, okay, somebody else can reconcile zero. Somebody else can do that. So, whereas there were parts that only she could do. And it was that aha moment for her. And then subsequent to that, we started working on the cash flow because by then we knew more of how we wanted to operate that business and what those levers were.
Yep. Conscious of time, but we have got a couple of other points. And Greg, I know you talk a lot to your customers and for me, coming from a sales and marketing background, this is vital. But knowing your customers, know who you're selling to and what your value proposition is vital. Do you want to just touch on that and why in this time it is important?
So not every dollar sale is equal and not every customer is equal. So if you know your levers and you know your margins and you know what you sell best, then you put that to one side and you go, what does the market look like? What is my target market? And so just because you could sell the best Ferrari in town doesn't mean you're going to sell half a dozen a week. So I'm a strong advocate of personifying your customer. So have a Bill, a Mary, a John, or whatever, and say, this is Bill, and this is what he looks like, and this is what he eats, and this is whether he's married or not married, et cetera, so that when you're talking about Bill the customer, you have a real deep understanding of where Bill the customer hangs out. That means for a start, your marketing spend is going to be absolutely accurate. And we can use technology now, and digital marketing is phenomenal. The more you know your customer, the more your return on investment is. And then start comparing that. Start saying, I am selling to Bill, and then start looking at your non-financials, whether it be your Google Analytics or the number of people that come in the shop or the people that come in the shop that don't then turn around and buy something. And so that's a problem with your shop layout and things like that. But if you know your customer and you know exactly where you're sitting so that you become part of their psyche, remember, it is not your right to be in their environment. They're inviting you into their environment. So if you create it so that you are a natural part of their psyche, then you're going to win. There's too much the arrogance of, you know, an old marketing term is build a better mousetrap. I've built the best mousetrap, but no one wants it because a cheap one will work. Yeah, and I'm really strong on that.
Yeah, and I think the reality is it's a really important point because I think when times when you know, times are tough and, you know, revenue's down overall in the country, your market, there's less spend, whatever you want to call it. It's easy to go, well, I'll get a bit more generalist so I get a bigger piece of the pie. But to your point, Greg, that big, you either are dropping your standards potentially because you're spreading yourself too thin with your product offering or service offering, but also your margin's not maintained. And then the reality is you're actually not making any more money, even though you might have more at the top line.
I will caution listeners, do not think that discounting is a survival technique. It is a race to the bottom. And there'll be always someone who can discount more than you. That doesn't mean you don't go in with a price offering that's really attractive, but that means you know your margin, you know where you're recovering it from.
Yep. Last point, Anna, we want to talk about, and again, we talked this heavily when we went into early lockdown, especially when we were talking about things like landlords and stuff, but communication to customers, communication to suppliers, why is that important?
And look, I'm already seeing it from some of my clients. So initially, it's going to be how you are operating at the moment, whether that's in level three if you're in Auckland or level two if you're in the rest of New Zealand. How are you operating? How is your business functioning at the moment? How are you going to keep them safe? Yeah. And you know, how are you going to, you know, provide them with your product or service? And that lets people know that you're still open or that you're not open, but you'll see you next week or all of those things. So, and that's around that digital presence as well. So, you know, I've got seen clients of mine on Facebook already saying, hey, we're open. This is how we're doing it now. You know, we've got, you know, so that's that communication is really important because you still want to be people coming in the door or their orders, whatever. Communication with suppliers, and you know that comes back to what we're talking about around costs and things like that. Communication with your bank if cash flow is going to be a problem. You know, communication with your accountant or whoever your business support is, because there is a ton of information out there and there's a ton of resources available and a ton of so what and like, you know, I went through a bunch of things before this podcast just to check that I was overall, and there's a lot, and some of it will apply to some people, and so at the moment lots of people are feeling overwhelmed probably because this can be quite stressful, so having to figure all that out. Whereas if you call Greg or you call your accountant or you call me, then we can probably quite easily direct you to the thing that's relevant to you. So communication and, you know, communication with your staff, they're going to be scared at the moment. They're going to be worried about their jobs. It's about being very open as much as you can with all of those groups of people, because again, everyone's in this together. It's there's not one person who's unaffected by this, right?
Yeah. Finally, and I know we've done a lot of work through this, but was announced a good few weeks ago now, but through the Regional Business Partner Network, $40 million from the government to help with funding for business owners on things like cash flow, business continuity. There's some stuff even for digital, all that sort of stuff, HR. And that's 100% funding up to, I think, $5,000. It depends slightly where you are in the country, and that's through your local council or economic arm, or it could be for a chamber of commerce. Mm. But there is a great resource there. We've had a bunch of clients use it, and it's been really useful, I know, for these sort of conversations. And I think just get the support through this time, making sure you've, even if you're functioning really, really well as a business, another set of eyes, there'll be something that you might have not thought of. And it can just give you that, okay, cool, but also confidence that you're on the right track. So just really encourage. We'll put the links in the show notes for all that information as well. But we've rabbited on for quite a while. So thanks, Anna, and thanks, Greg. Thanks, guys. And just look after everyone, and any help, just contact right away. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks a lot.
See you. Talk to you.